A Radio 191 FM podcast.
Headlining this new show coming to Otipoti in mid-October. It's called Coal Miner's Daughter, and it is based off of the life and times of the one and only country star Loretta Lynn. We have Amber Poulton joining us from the Big Red Rock across the ditch, Australia. Good morning to you, Amber. How are you?
Good morning. I'm well, thank you.
I'm very glad to hear. Where are you joining us from?
I'm from South Australia, about 3 hours out of Adelaide on the coast in a little town called Corny Point.
Corny Point. Is there a lot of corn there?
No corn. No corn.
Interesting why they named it that.
Yeah, I think on the map it looks like a foot, and we are on the corn of that, the bunion of the foot. So I think that's where that comes from.
Kind of like a less glorious Italy being the boot to Carthage.
Yes, yeah, exactly, yeah, yeah. Right. We're the poor man's Italy.
I've said that a lot about Australia. No, sorry. I've heard that Adelaide is kind of similar to Dunedin. I'm not sure if you've been to Dunedin, where we're coming to you from before. But what's Adelaide like? I've never been.
I've never been to New Zealand. It's always been on my list of things I absolutely had to do. And then it dropped off the list when I had a family, and now it's back on the list. So really, really exciting. But I think Adelaide just got rated one of the easiest places to live in the world. But
I've heard nothing but good things. And the music coming out of Adelaide is phenomenal.
Yeah, it used to be a lot more. And then we had the Pokies Law come in, and we were the only state of Australia that didn't need to offset the number of pokies with the number of hours of entertainment. So we sort of dropped off a little bit there. But I think they're trying to rebuild it. But Australia itself is very healthy music-wise. Mm-hmm. And in terms of country music, I wouldn't say South Australia is the strongest in country music. That's sort of more Queensland, far north Queensland, and the coast, New South Wales coast, mm-hmm. has a stronger farming contingent. So then the farming people really love country music more. So, yeah. But Adelaide, in terms of easy, is because I think it's about 20 minutes to go anywhere from one side to the other. From the hills to the beach, it's about 30 minutes tops.
Oh, it's the same thing in where we're at, Otipoti, Dunedin. Yeah. It's quite similar. It's very well, it's very small, which is lovely. But it's also a nice small. It's not like confining small. It's like you can take life at your own speed here, which I think is really quite a cool quality.
Oh, yeah, for sure. It's a choice. I mean, anyone can live in those other places, but to stay, it's a beautiful thing.
Now, I want to ask you a question about sort of the meteoric return of country music to pop culture. It's been making heaps of waves lately with people like Morgan Wallen. There's been a massive crossover of country and hip-hop lately. How does it feel to see it return to the charts in a massive way, like the way it's done for the past 2-3 years?
I feel really angry.
Angry? You're not a big fan of the modern country?
Oh, no, I love it. I just wish it had happened sort of maybe 10 years earlier. But I remember when I first joined, I mean, I've been singing my whole life, but I joined country music probably about 17 years ago. And the world was, it was huge. Like the audience sizes were just amazing. I mean, it was nothing to get 300 people just to a normal gig. And then that sort of dropped off a little bit. It did wane. And then we were sort of looking at the 150s, and then you were looking at the 80s. And I remember someone saying to me, what are you going to do when we're all dead? Like, what are you going to do? Who are you going to sing to when we're all dead? And I was like, well, hang on a minute. Country music's never died. It's always stuck around. That's because when we get older, we want better music. We want songs that have stories about our life. And I'm certainly at that point now. I'm going to be having my 50th in New Zealand, actually.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, where I don't want to listen to rubbish anymore. I just want to listen to good songs that have a story, or have someone else's story, or remind me of something that happened to me. And and that tends to steer towards that country music aspect. So I think it's always going to be fine, and it's going through a wave at the moment where the younger ones are not turning it off. I think these go, ugh, turn that over, whereas now they're kind of like, oh, hang on, that sounds a little bit like that other song I heard the other day. So I think that's really cool. I love it. But for me, I've never been embarrassed about saying I love country music, but I know that there are people that don't tell anyone that I actually really like country music. So I think it's great. Post-COVID, we're still struggling for numbers a little bit, so I think it might be the thing we need to get the numbers back up to what they were.
Amen to that. I think people tend to write off either country or hip-hop quite a lot online, and I think, you know, if you look hard enough, you'll find something you'll like in every genre.
Yeah.
Even the most unseemly thing possible, you'll probably find something you like.
I never thought about that with hip-hop, but you're right. Hip-hop's gone through the ooh, yucky stage and cool again. Mm-hmm. And I know my kids, they listen to a lot of rap and a lot of hip-hop, and every now and then I'll say, you know what, you should listen to Missy Elliott, or you should listen to who I used to listen to back in the day. And, and then once upon a time they would have said no thanks, but now they're like, yeah, I'll give it a listen.
Missy Elliott, throwback. Can you feel me now? Coal Miner's Daughter is a musical all about country music legend Loretta Lynn. How long have you been a fan of hers for?
17 years.
17 years. That's a fair amount of time.
Yeah, because I remember I was pregnant with my second child and he's 17. So I remember I was singing like just did pub covers back in the day, and I was doing extraordinary hours. I wasn't getting home till 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning, and I just thought, I cannot do this anymore. And I retired. And then someone rang me and said, we need a fill-in for a Johnny Cash show. We need a June Carter. And I was like, well, who's that? You know, I mean, I'd heard of her, but I didn't really know much about her. So I went and learned some of her songs, did a bit of a guest spot, and saw this country music audience. And I thought, these guys look very different to the pub crowds that I'm used to singing to. And I thought, right, I've got to get in on this. So I sort of went home and thought, I'd love to do a show. Let's get me out of the pubs and let's get me into the venues. And I looked up country music stars, and I found Dolly Parton, and clearly I couldn't do Dolly Parton, missing two very significant assets there. and Tammy Wynette, she was just a little bit too sad to do a whole show, too dreary in that way. Patsy Cline, I don't have the voice, the timbre that she has. And then I found Loretta, and off I went. I got her songs, I wrote her story, I aligned all of her life's moments with the songs that she had written, and we had this show. And that was back in 2008, and then we've been touring it in the theatres only since 2017.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. For some reason, she gives me Harry Potter vibes. She's like kind of the protagonist, maybe of for women in country music from like the, I think what she was active from like the '40s to the '70s for much longer. Than that. Yeah.
She was absolutely right. I've never heard her described as a Harry Potter, but you are correct.
Just sort of like a protagonist, you know, a bit of a protagonist. Yeah.
And she did it really well. She did it in a way that didn't get her cancelled. You know, She had this really clever way of writing a very serious song about a very serious topic, whether it was her husband and her being rough with each other, if it was about her husband cheating, if it was about her cheating, if it was about women wanting to have more say. She did all that, and she wrote it to a happy tune. So if you weren't really listening to the lyrics, you didn't quite catch that she was probably having a go at you.
Yeah.
And she was one of the only women at that time that was writing her own songs. Most of those women were given songs by men who had written these songs and said, oh, she'll sound great singing that. I don't know how she did that. It's quite incredible, really. I mean, even Patsy Cline wasn't writing her own songs.
Really?
Yeah, really incredible. Songs banned from radio. And, yeah, definitely a protagonist.
Well, you've said that Loretta Lynn paved the way for women like you in country music to take centre stage. Could you speak on what she did for women in country music? I mean, I imagine it was, as you kind of allude to, a very, very male-dominated arena when she entered it.
Yeah, there was at that time, and if you Google hard enough, there are posters out there on images, and you can see the lineup. So they used to tour like the town halls or the theatres across America, and there would be Hank Williams, Johnny Cash, Jerry, all the men, and then there would be one token woman on the bill. So she'd sort of come on at halftime, if you like, and it would be June Carter or Kitty Wells or Patsy Cline or Loretta, and it was just that one spot, and it was just to lighten the mood while the men had a drink. So Patsy was definitely one of those women that said, well, I'm going to use that 20 minutes that I've got, and I'm going to bring on my little friend Loretta. And that's that. Those two together formed this beautiful friendship that then taught Loretta how to do it. And so she gave people the leg up that they needed as well. So they did together sort of say, well, we're going to carve out our own little spot here. And I know Jen Carter, she used to talk about it, that she would have to come on and do a mixture of jokes and songs. She wasn't allowed to sing too much. She had to tell some jokes. So, yeah, it was a very different time. So if they hadn't sort of busted their way on stage and invited friends up and given everyone more of a taste of females on stage, who would know, would I be able to do this show today? You know, I really value that. I think that they were extraordinary women.
Mm-hmm, for sure. And I want to touch on Klein and Lynn's relationship because, what you're alluding to them being like kind of having a mentor and then mentoree kind of relationship as well as just being friends?
Yeah, it is. I mean, I know that that I play the lead role here. I know that I'm on stage as Loretta Lynn. The show is called Coal Miner's Daughter. But I know that the best part of this show is when Patsy Cline comes on stage. And I'm just super stoked that I get to be on stage to watch it. When Patsy Cline walks on stage, which is Lizzie Moore from Brisbane, when Lizzie walks on stage as Patsy, I get to see the audience eyes absolutely light up. It's like, oh, we've really enjoyed this so far, but this is what we need right now. We want Patsy Cline. We want I Fall to Pieces, Walking After Midnight, Crazy, Honky Tonk, Merry-Go-Round. It's the best part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to portray their friendship as nothing more than supporting each other through not only their career but their personal life. So we do touch on all of that, and it's just a beautiful part of the show. And then I get to leave the stage and leave Patsy Cline with the audience for a while. So, and that's when I get to go and have a drink.
She can do all the hard yards for a bit. I came across, as I mentioned before on air, I came across Patsy Cline, I think maybe 7 or 8 months ago, and I only, in research for our corridor, for our talk this morning, I only looked up and learned that Patsy Cline passed away at the very young age of 30 years old. She passed away in an airplane, and I don't know what happened in like the 60s and 70s, but there's so many great, talented musicians like Patsy Cline, like Jim Croce, who passed away in airplanes. I don't know what, Aaliyah also in the 90s passed away. It's nuts.
It was regulations. I don't think they had any regulations back then. They just went, you know, they finished their gig, they got in their jets and they left.
Mm.
And now I think you're not allowed to if it's a certain condition or weather and you have to have, you know, the part, you have to give way up there. But, yeah,
no smoking as well probably helps.
That's right. Yeah. I know that when I was growing up and I knew of Patsy Cline, and I knew that she had died in a plane crash, I, for some reason, thought she was in her 50s or early 60s. And when I learned how young she was, I just thought, that is just an absolute tragedy. Because can you imagine the music she was yet to release?
No.
So, so very sad. But, yeah, Loretta Lynn, she lived through that. And, you know, she called one of her children Patsy. That's how close they were. So that's definitely covered in the show as well. Yeah, absolute tragedy.
It is.
But yeah, there was definitely a lot of very talented people lost in the air, for sure.
There's in researching this chat, I also came across a lovely quote from Loretta Lynn talking about being best friends with Patsy Cline and Tammy Wynette at different times in her life. She said, "Best friends are like husbands, you only need one at a time."
That's so great, isn't it? Oh, my gosh,
it's
Loretta.
So good.
Actually, Loretta and Dolly Parton have the most amazing quotes out there. But there is a time of Loretta's life when she did have so much loss. She lost Patsy. She lost her husband. She lost her duet partner, Conway Twitty, who is portrayed by Dennis Sermon from Adelaide here. And, she had those times where she had great loss, and it was Dolly Parton and Tammy Wynette that really helped to get her out of that darkness. And they had a little band that they called the Honky Tonk Angels.
So they
released Silver Threads and Golden Needles. There's a beautiful three-part harmony in that show. So that's also covered in the show. So they not only get Loretta Lynn and Patsy Cline and Conway Twitty, they get songs by Tammy Wynette, Dolly Parton, Willie Nelson. So it's jam-packed. We we didn't have to go too far to find those songs because Loretta has pretty much worked with everyone in the industry. So it wasn't difficult for me to sort of pop those songs in and justify it.
Crack up. Now, you've got an eight-date tour across Aotearoa, New Zealand. You mentioned it's your first time coming over here. You're your 50th over here. What sites do you have in mind that you might want to go see?
I think the only sight that I'm going to see is the dashboard of my car.
True, yeah, fair.
I am driving like a crazy lunatic. But, yeah, we have 8 shows. The South Island is selling really well. North Island's a bit slow, and I'm hoping you're going to tell me that they book last minute.
I will tell you that, but I will also say the country capital of New Zealand is in the South Island. The South loves its country.
But if we had just done the South Island, everyone would have said, how come you didn't do the North Island? So we're doing it. We're going to tick the box. Mm-hmm. So we've got all those tour dates. We've got a couple of days off to get from one island to the next. Mm-hmm. And actually, I'm coming back in January for the Martin Country Music Festival. So I'm hoping that New Zealand will be a bit of a regular jaunt once I dip my toe over there, because I hear that the traditional country music is the first choice over there, which is my favourite.
Yes, traditional country music is in like from the...
As in like Tammy...
Right, as in the stuff that you're kind of doing.
Yeah.
No, for sure. I mean, it's funny that you mentioned Conway Twitty, because I recently had an interview with someone who made a book about New Zealand's pop music history. And in the 30s, there was this guy from a town called Nelson, which is at the top of the South Island.
Yes.
And he ran from home and set up shop in Gore, which is the country capital of New Zealand. And he was just a Conway Twitty impersonator. That was his whole thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah. He loved Conway Twitty.
Oh, well, that's fantastic. Actually, Nelson's almost sold out. We don't have many tickets left there. So we are probably in the right place there. So, yeah. But I've heard about Gore. Next time we come back to New Zealand, we'll have to do Gore. But, yeah, it's going to be a huge tour. I don't know what I was thinking when I booked it in terms of the workload. It's about 6-7 hour drives in between shows, and it's such a huge show as it is. But we'll be just running on excitement alone.
Yep. Excitement and good gas station pies, I think.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, we love our pies here. I'm not sure if you've heard that, but
no,
it's quite a thing. They're kind of like, people have said pies are our burgers. I don't think it's quite that mad. Maybe a few decades ago it was, but we definitely love our pies. Hey, thank you so much for coming on the show, Amber. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. We hope to see everybody at the show.
I'm sure you will. Take care, man. Take care.
Thank you.
All right, folks. That was Amber Joy Poulton. We're talking to her about the Coal Miner's Daughter show, which is coming to Otipoti, Dunedin on Saturday the 18th of October at the Regent Theatre. You can get your tickets at regenttheatre.co.nz. We're going to play some Loretta Lynn right now. We have Don't Come Home A-Drinkin' with Lovin' On Your Mind. So we have that track by Loretta Lynn to play. Then we'll have Kai Time in but a mere moment. You are listening to The One. Keep it locked. Well, you
thought I'd be... This was a Radio 1 91 FM podcast. You can find more at r1.co.nz or wherever quality content is found.